Okay, let's start again today from the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 3. So there was a certain widow. Okay, let's start from verse 1. It said, it was telling them a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or to faint. And now this is a parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. So let me just remind us of what I said last time about that issue of people not losing heart. The reason why he's saying that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart is because there will be a tendency to lose heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what will happen naturally, is that you will lose heart. If that was not the issue, all right, he wouldn't bother to emphasize the fact that you must not lose heart. And why do people lose heart? He said hope that is deferred does what? It makes the heart sink or heart fail or heart sick. Now, which means that the results to prayer may appear delayed. Are you getting what I'm saying? I just want to emphasize that to us again. The results to making petitions before God may appear delayed. And a man, a woman must not, because of that, stop praying because he has not yet seen the result. We said there are essentially two kinds of prayers. I just want to review this because we have no record of the last one that we said. All right, I'll take about 15 minutes to review. Then we'll go into what I want to say today. We said there are two kinds of prayer and we have been emphasizing them. One is one that you pray for yourself, and the other one is the one you pray not for yourself. Let me just summarize it like that. Now, essentially, the one you pray for yourself is an affirmation of what God has said concerning your life, except situations in which you have specific requests to make. But generally, you must make prayers for yourself also at all times. Do you understand my point? Let me say this. You must not be negligent, but you must make prayers for yourself at all times. That is, you will wake up in the morning and declare what God has said concerning you. You will go to sleep at night declaring what God has said concerning you. Don't forget this. Life is spiritual. You know, I say it all the time. And please, I'm happy for the series we are doing now on Saturday, which we titled I'm discussing how Christians get results, all right? But we titled the series The Fruitful Life, all right? What you do is that you constantly, I'm digressing, but I like to do that. We'll learn. One of the major problems I have seen as errors in the teachings as in the body of Christ in these days is that of they are encouraging people to be impulsive. Do you get my point? We like to be impulsive. That is, I've told myself I'm not talking about money matters again. I've corrected anybody enough. Anybody who wants to be confused right now, all right, is on his own. Banky has done his best in correcting people. I just want this as an example. Like people like to give when they are pushed and stimulated. And we preachers, we also like it. Is that okay? It's not the right thing. What is right is for us to have a constant, continual attitude towards giving. Are you getting my point? Your life should be planned. You earn money. You know how you are going to spend your money. You know, you don't wake up in the morning till you are on and wait to be hungry to go and buy food. You tend to have a stock of food in the house. You don't wait till you are cold to go and buy a sweater. You tend to have a sweater in your wardrobe. Do you get my point? That is, you already have a constant life, a habit concerning your personal provisions. In that same way also, your giving is planned like that. All right, you shouldn't expose yourself to impulsive activities. You tend to lose heart like that. In fact, Kenegin said that when the atmosphere is charged, all right, as a preacher, that is one time he never takes an offering because it is wrong. Because people will make vows and decisions give offerings that they can't really afford and they really don't in the bottom of their heart want to do. So he encouraged, and you've seen me do it before, for co-workers, I did that. Say, look, take this piece of paper and go home. The next week, bring it back. That is, make up your mind, not under pressure, you know. People like to be impulsive, and it's not good. You know, you make wrong decisions when you're impulsive. You should have a structured life, which we adjust all the time, according to the new understanding that you have. Do you understand? For example, that personally, I'm not going to give any detail, but I made some decisions the last few days. My wife is not around. She traveled some time ago. You know, she will be back some time later. But I made a decision, and I said, when she comes, we'll discuss it. And this decision is made based on new understanding from the Word of God that I have acquired over the last 2 months, thereabout. Do you understand? And now it's crystallizing into some structures that we have in the home. Are you getting my point? Especially as it applies to spending money. So I have new understanding over the last few months. It will reflect in how I handle things. Are you getting my point? I always tell people that if you like, if I'm in the congregation, in fact, if you have people like me in the congregation, the pastors who like go around jumping, using impulse to get money out of people, they'll be so discouraged. Because you can pray from now till tomorrow. You can, this guy, in fact, I, you know, I have a rule, and it's my personal rule, and I don't give my offerings in public anymore. If you say, please, if you are giving $1 million, put up your hand, and I'm giving $5 million, I won't answer you. I'm looking at you like this. But there's nothing you want to tell me. I'm not going to shift. You say, Pastor, okay, why? The reason being that sometimes you have to react to things so as to correct them. I think we have deliberately closed our eyes to the fact that Jesus said your good work should be done in secret. We just made up our minds, all we preachers, connived and conspired, yes, that's a good word, to say, Jesus, you didn't say that. Dear Lord, you did not say it. Therefore, all our offerings are taken publicly. If you are giving 500, come and stand here. Let the whole church know that you are giving 500,000 naira. If you are giving 1 million, come and stand here. I want the whole church to know that that's what they are giving. And it has become a habit. Let me just say this. Do you know it's basically wrong? Do you realize it? We are forgotten that basically it is wrong. Basically, it should not be done. Basically, we must never do it. Why I keep on using what basically is that? Yes, there are occasions in which you make an exception, you know, because we're not being legalistic. Let me give an example. Let's assume now that I need, maybe I'm about to get arrested because we didn't pay Kingdom World bill, something, all right? And I say, please, we need to pay 10,000 naira now. So maybe I said, okay, you need to pay 10,000 naira. Please, who wants to bail me? Quickly, can I have 10 people? You know, so that I need to quickly know whether I have 10,000. Now, those are the few exceptions. But you know, those are not the issues. I mean, if it's money we need next week, I don't need that. I can tell you, please, at the end of the meeting, all right, see Chukwubike there and let him have the money. So what I'm saying, basically, all right, the rule is that that's not how it's supposed to be done. We do that so as to put you under pressure. That's just the thing. Like somebody was telling me, a woman who came to preach in town recently, and he said, okay, now told the women that, all you women that brothers are proposed to, if the brother who proposed to you is now among those standing here, don't marry him, he's a stingy man. Nice. So it was a joke, all right? It was a joke. I wasn't there, but I knew he must have said it as a joke. But you see, I bring us something here. So we all are watching, and we know what each person is giving. As a brother I wanted to joke with once, I always said, oh boy, I know the offering you have given the last 2 months. He said, how do you know? I said, because you always tell us. Now, what I'm going to bring up is that we're not supposed to do that, okay? But what I'm going to emphasize from there is the issue of being impulsive. We do those things because we like to be impulsive. But what God expects from us is what? A habit. Make a habit. All right? Somebody like, so I made up my mind, okay, that's what I was saying, to break that habit. Are you getting my point? Now, I just said, look, I'm in a personal mission. I'm revolting. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I am revolting. It's my personal mission. I'm not saying you should join me. Is that okay? I, Banky, am revolting. Banky is revolting. Okay, I won't do my own in the public, all right? Because I think that's more in line with us. But more importantly is the fact that, so what someone like me, what I do is that, I say one of the reasons why I can't even be harassed by people who put me under pressure is that I have to rob Peter to pay Paul each time. I don't know where I get my point. If I do something, it has to come from somewhere. So either I'm robbing myself, I'm robbing Kingdom World Ministry as an example. Maybe the money I'm supposed to give to Kingdom World, I give for something else. So generally, it's a bit difficult. And that's why people make vows that they can't keep because they make them under impulse. And at the end of the day, when reality shows up, people suddenly realize that, Upari, busy. The next thing I say that, you made the vow. If you don't, God will kill you. Hey, trouble. Say, okay, what do I do? Sell your head. It's for the kingdom. No, we do that. A lot of it is just pure magomago. Anyway, the issue is that let's create a habit. Is that okay? We Christians create a good habit. That's what I'm saying. So he said that men ought always, all right? I just took a tangent off on that money issue because it's a common issue in the body of Christ today. But what I want to bring up is the same thing applies to, what do you call it? Prayer also. We also like to be impulsive. Do you understand? Only pray when there is a problem or somebody comes and tell you very terrible stories. Now, you should respond when there are issues, all right? If any man afflicted, let him pray. Is that okay? But there is a habit. Jesus used the word, men ought always. Paul said what? Pray without ceasing. You know, you wonder, well, how can a man pray and never cease? And that's, these are the things we are teaching. You pray for yourself, again, always. But how do you pray for yourself? It is not as if you go around, let me say that again. How do you pray for yourself? It's not as if you go around all the time, all right, making requests. Dear Lord, what else do I need? Yeah, what else do I need? No, you don't always make prayers based on what you need. You make prayers based upon what God has said about you. If you don't have a specific need, there is a prayer you're supposed to say concerning your life. We discussed that before, all right? We're not going to go over that before again. We discussed it before. There are things that God has said, and that's a summary of it, what I put in those that our small pamphlet. Is that okay? You just keep speaking what God has said concerning you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a prayer. It's a positive confession. It's an affirmation of what God has said about you, but it's a prayer. Some of the psalms I love most are Psalm 23 and Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge. I will say of the Lord is my provider. I will say of the Lord he is my protection. I will say of the Lord he is my long life. I will say of the Lord he is my security for tomorrow. You keep on saying that every time. You don't have to have a need. You don't have to have armed robbers shooting down your street. You wake up in the morning, that's what you say. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, therefore I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do I dwell in the secret place? What I say. I am not saying of my uncle because he's a big MD, therefore I'll get a good job. No. All right? He's not my God. That's why God will say, I am God and there is none else. Because there are many other things that try to pretend to be God. Are you getting my point? Nations pretend to be God. The biggest God of a nation we have today in Nigeria, all right, is America. That is, come to us, we'll guarantee your future. Come to us, we can guarantee productivity, all right, for all your labors. But that is not the role of a nation. That's the role of God. So God said, I am God and there is none else. So how do I dwell in the secret place of the Most High? I say of the Lord, he is my guarantee of tomorrow. He's my protection. He's my prosperity. I will say of the Lord. I say that even when I don't need anything. I say that while my father is still paying my school fees and is giving me more money as allowance than most people are earning. I say that while I have a big job and I'm earning so much money. I say that even when I don't appear to be in lack, I declare that he's my health. Are you getting my point? He's my protection in time of outbreaks of diseases. Even when everything appears healthy and I can jog 25 kilometers without breaking my stride, without feeling anything, I continue to declare that even though I'm not under pressure. That's what we mean when they say men ought always to pray. Now, when pressure comes, when issues come, we continue to pray and not lose heart, even under those circumstances. You are getting the point I'm making? Now then, when I pray for other issues, that's when I pray for myself. What about when I pray for other issues? I'm praying for the nation. I'm praying for my community. I'm praying for the body of Christ. I'm praying for my friends. I'm praying for my brothers, my sisters. I'm praying for my parents. I'm praying for my cousins. I'm praying for those I love. My association in school, I belong to a body of people. We've talked about the issue of families before. Or I don't want to go over that now. I am praying for them, yet I'm not seeing results. He said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. The reason being that it will appear like they should lose heart when they don't see quick results. Because the hope that is deferred makes the heart what? Sick. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I'm just emphasizing that first line again. So when I said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city. And she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling. But after what he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, that is, there's no God above me. So that makes him a type of God. Nor respect man, not afraid of anybody. Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, what he was saying here is that the only thing that will prevent God to eventually release that result into their lives is when they depart from the place of faith. And we said that one of the signs of faith is persistence in prayer. I can't remember that I said it. I remember I gave an example using the life of Daniel. That Daniel, though the first day he prayed in, the angel was dispatched. But if after a week or two, he was no longer in the place of prayer, It is not that it is now that the angel is just coming, but the incentive, the drive, the thing that's pushing the angel to keep on fighting to get down to Daniel will have been removed. Therefore, if I want to talk about the hundredfold blessing, I'll explain some of these things. I don't know whether we'll get there this year in our Saturday teachings, but I'm going to discuss that. Please, notice this. Don't let me go into it now. But I really am looking forward to talking about the hundredfold blessing. What I want to bring out from there is that a lot of people start, all right, and they don't finish, all right, and their lives become a story of what is wrong to do. Meanwhile, they did the right thing, except that they did not finish. I don't know whether you get my point. You can imagine that if Abraham had left his father's house and started following God, then on the way, do you follow? He decided disobeying the instructions of God. He would have died on his journey, and he would have lost a lot of things. And people would have said, "Don't stop departing from your father's house when you are 75. Why? Because the last man that did it. Do you follow my point? They won't know that the reason why things went wrong with him was not because he departed, but because he did not complete the following. Do you get my point? He didn't complete the following of the God that took him out of a particular place. I've noticed that. That's what you hear many stories. This is how this man did do, and look at what happened to him. A lot of times, the people did what was very right, but they did not continue, because each blessing with God, don't let me get ahead of myself. I'll discuss that one as part of the last series on the fruitful life. You start out doing what is right. Along the line, you now forget how you started, number one, or you neglect to add what is next in that walk with God. That's why, let me say it again. You can never, look, let nobody come and tell you any lies, all right? Or to encourage your faith, or to encourage you to do something, because somebody did something today, and tomorrow got a fantastic result. Listen, with God, it doesn't work like that, though. Many people start following God, it's discouragement for the first 10 years. I'm not joking about that. That is, you have, except you know God's word, you will have been discouraged. That's why many are called and few are chosen. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me not go down to that. So, faith, persistence in prayer, all right, is a sign of faith. That is, I don't change my mind. Okay, that's something I said last time. Let me just say it again. Once I derive my hope, my expectation from the word of God, please listen to this. This is very, very important. All right? Because a lot of people that pray and will pray impossibly, the problem is that we have expectations derived out of desire. Are you getting my point? We have expectations derived from an immediate problem. You get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And then maybe you did a bad investment, and it's only you make up your whole mind that this is the kind of thing you want to do, not this kind of job now. But if tomorrow, and I say that investment was not as bad as you thought, it's yielding now, you change your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. When you have expectations or desires created by immediate surrounding circumstances, then that's when it's easy to lose heart. Is that okay? It's difficult for you to focus your faith on it. But when you have something built upon the word of God, do you follow? Then it is easier to hold on. I think I discussed that one like 2 weeks ago. Let me not go over that one again. Now, so I just wanted to review briefly some of the things we said last time, which we do not have any record of. Now, please, I said, just to continue this answer by expectation. If you are praying for a situation also, what you do is that you locate. Now, this is why there is no alternative in Christianity to instruction. God knew what he was doing when he gave us the book called the Bible. And no matter how much people fight that book, it's still the most popular book on the earth. Are you getting my point? It's still the number one bestseller. When you talk about the best-selling book in history, usually, when they say it's a Bible, they don't mean Bible as Bible total. They mean one particular version. I don't know whether I get my point. But this is the fastest-selling book right now. It's usually one version of the Bible. There was a time it was the NIV. And I don't know whether New Living Translation took up that position. NIV at the time was the best-selling book in the world. Now, what am I saying? If you add KJV, add Amplified, add New American Standard, add American Standard, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard Version, you add all those ones, and the Bibles in other languages, listen, there's no book that comes near. So when they are writing it, they read only one, that is, assuming when NIV was released, all right, NIV began to sell. NIV, it should be one of the most popular Bibles ever released, New International Version. So when they are saying that this is a best-selling book, they don't mean the Bible. They mean a particular version. There was a time it was Jerusalem Bible. So you see, if we add all those translations and the different languages, now, you are following what I'm saying? Why did God do it like that? Because without the knowledge of his will, you can't do anything effectively. Without the understanding of his purpose, life is actually meaningless. Do you follow my point? So if we want to pray prayers that will be effective, therefore, it must be based upon an understanding. Now, as we go on today, I want us to pray some prayer. You see, the idea that we read the scripture and then based upon it, you must know exactly what God wants, desires for a situation. There was time Jeremiah was praying and praying. God told him that, listen, this one, there's no atonement possible by prayer anymore. A wise person after that stops talking. Sometimes our desire keeps us going. Remember when David's son by Bathsheba was sick, and the prophet said, as for this child, he will die. And David prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God said, you don't understand. There are some things I'm waiting for you to pray so I can change my mind. But there are some that the Bible said a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness, which means if we don't destroy, it will be unrighteousness. You are getting what I'm saying? Moses went to God and prayed. God said, wait, Moses, this is the last time you are talking to me on that matter. Otherwise, I kill you earlier than I planned to kill you before. Now, you follow what I'm saying? That is, it's not just about being importunate, just being there and being persistent. It's about knowing exactly what God desires for a particular situation. Are you getting my point? For example, there are general rules we know. God desires that men will not perish but come to the knowledge of truth and come to repentance. We know that. All right? We know that God does not like injustice. We know that God's plan is prosperity, is for peace in the nation. We know that. We know that Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So anywhere I place you in, you are the salt of the earth, he said. So wherever you find yourself, you are supposed to preserve the place so that you come close to what God ordained for that society to be. Are you getting my point? No, really. That's the way prayer is. That's just the way it is. Is that okay? Now, so, those are among the things that we have been learning. Now, there's another scripture I think I want us to read, and then let me just, from there we'll go on. That James chapter 5. If you have the Amplified Bible, don't bother opening to it. James chapter 5, verse 16, where King James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amplified says that the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in its working. The point here is that it is heartfelt. I've discussed that before. I'm not going to go over that today. And it is continued. All right? And he said that is what makes tremendous power available. The word there is continued. I said something last time. Let me say it again so that we'll bear it in mind and have a good record of it. And that's the fact that God, our words are like what? The weapons that God uses, all right, to fight on the earth. I think, was it last Tuesday I said this, or two Tuesdays ago, that God always requires an authorization. That's the word. Before God does anything, even though he desires to do it, there must be authorization. You know, where the criminal justice, where justice system generally works very well. Take, for example, maybe, at least we see it in movies, reading in books, a place like United States of America, if a policeman comes and he desires to enter a particular house to search it, it requires what? A judge to authorize it. That's just the way it is. And this is how it is between God and us, between the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. So what happens is that we always have to give authorization to the plan of God. And that's why the Bible says that God does not do anything except he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. The idea is that when his prophets have decoded his plan, then by prayer and prophesying, they are authorizing the activity of God on the earth. You know, I said that. Now, bear that in mind. Therefore, what you do by your prayers, and you see, that's one thing about prayer. Let me just say this. Consistency and persistence, all right, in prayer is not just about going for prayer meeting. What do I mean? Very common with Christianity of today in Nigeria, That's the only place where I practice my own life, all right? So I know the way it is in Nigeria. Now, we can go to church, all right, and pray about the situation. Then we go home and discuss the situation. If our discussion is not a continuation of what we said in prayer in church, we have nullified the whole prayer meeting. Are you getting my point? That is, if I go and pray, so the pastor says, today we will pray for the economy of this nation. And then we rise up, all of us, we are praying, peace and prosperity. We declare this, and then we will go home. Then you buy a newspaper. And you open your mouth and say, hey, I always knew this country is finished. Once you say that, all the prayers you prayed, as it was the whole night, has just been canceled. By who? Yourself. You're a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, who receives nothing from God. You are getting what I'm not explaining. So when we're talking about persistent prayer, it is not I say something today, I change my mind tomorrow. That's why I said, look, you have to. I think one of the prayers we pray is that we should pray seriously about this. What I'm saying is very, very serious. I pray we understand my point. I'm not taking them, but for those who understand, just bear in mind. You have to pray for God to release his prophetic anointing into his body, especially in Nigeria. I'm not a prophet, so I don't operate that. And a lot of people call themselves prophets around these days. Please, I don't like to be critical. I just like to say things plainly. They only prophesy good. And if you read the Bible, those only prophesy good are not prophets. I'm not saying they are not preachers, but they are not prophets. So today we're going to have a prophetic meeting. And the prophet has planned that it's only blessing he will bless you. Now, it's not a bad thing, though. Do you get what I'm saying? No, please, I want you to understand me clearly. It's not a bad thing, though. It's good. You won't go where they go, they swear for you. No, now. It's good. When you come to church, it shall be well with you. Amen. Hear me. This week is the week of blessing. Amen. That man is not a prophet. Now, what I'm saying is that what is an exhorter is good. I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know whether you get my point. It's good. Have we ever finished here when I want to maybe close prayer? Say, listen to me, as you're crossing the road, if you don't lose the rest of the light of the right, car may jam you. Have you ever said that? I shouldn't say that now. What I will say is, as you cross the road, it shall be well with you. Amen? Hey, it's in the Bible. Can bless people. But I don't like when such people claim that they are prophets. I don't like it. It's good to bless people. You know, your father should bless you. He doesn't have to be a prophet to bless you. You should bless your children. You should bless yourself. You should bless your friends. If you are traveling and say, go, we'll see later. That's not a greeting. That's a prophetic word. You know, like that. Say, I'm blessing you. We will see later. Means you won't die. We will see later. Means you will come back in one piece. Go, it will be well with you. It's good. I'm making prayers for you. But a prophetic office, what I mean here, it's not the man who just comes every time and say, let me declare, and you start blessing people. That's a prayer. Good, I have a new word for you. That's a priestly office. Amen? Every priest, every child of God is a priest and is authorized to bless. You can bless a man who God doesn't want to bless. Just the blessing won't have effect, but at least it's good, right for you to go ahead and do it. God can call you out and say, oh boy, that one way you talk, now your own, I know go answer. Do you understand? But you know real prophets, they don't say a blessing upon a man that God is cursing. They can't. Ken Hagin will tell you stories. He puts his hand to pray for a man who was sick. He said, Lord, he wants to say, heal him. And all you hear him say is blessed. Then you feel his hands get lifted off the man's head. So he felt he was applying too much pressure. So he put his hand back on the man's head to begin to pray. And you want to say, God, heal this man. And then what you hear is bless. Then you feel his hands get lifted. So next time he opened his eyes and saw that there was nobody lifting his hand. The hand was just coming off by an invisible hand. So he asked the Lord, what's happening? The Lord said, he's going to die. So he continued his prayer. The Lord bless this man. Amen. He will have everlasting grace. You know, this kind of nebulous prayer that the man doesn't even know what he is saying. Just a good word. And after that, he left. The man died. 10 preachers can come there to pray, and they are not lying. And they will ask God for the man. Do you understand my point? And God will refuse. But because they are not prophets, they wouldn't know that he was planning to refuse. You follow what I'm going to explain? Prophets, no, they're generally very incisive. That is, when they are giving analysis of situation, tend to cut deep and go beyond the general priestly function of bless everybody. Today, all of you, nothing will go wrong in your life again. Listen to me, how are the people there are going to die within the next 3 years? And you don't know. Because you're not a prophet. Now, see, you know, I kept emphasizing. No, I was emphasizing that one of blessing and blessing, there's nothing wrong with it. It's like a priestly office. This is how you will bless the people. You will say to them, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord send his counsel upon you and give you peace. All these things is correct. That's a priestly office. But the prophet, he won't say that if the man is really going to enter into calamity. So you know the kind of prophets that are very common then in Israel and very common now in Nigeria also, are those that don't see any other thing but good. So when I say a prophet that never sees anything but good, I'm suspicious. He may not be a prophet. He may be a good man who they gave a title, not his own, you know. They can promote people to pastor in the same way. Some people can tell you you're a prophet. They can call you an apostle. God knows who they vex. It's when you start doing the one where they're not sending, now you go enter into the gal. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, really. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. He tell you correct facts. Now, you see, when Jehoshaphat went and Ahab, they sat on their throne. And they called the prophets. The prophets went and they, woo-hoo, you will win. Woo-hoo, you go win. Woo-hoo, you go win. When they called the real prophet, Micaiah, he showed up. He said, notice what? You won't hear say you go win? Go, it will be well with you. Now Ahab look and say, okay, see, behave. Talk true. You want to hear the truth? Let me tell you the truth. He couldn't just come there and be shouting, it is well, it is well. Because he was a real prophet. You go on this journey, oh boy, you ain't coming back. Now, this is just digressing, all right, so I will learn something. So what I'm going to say is a prayer we should pray. That God will give us real prophetic insight. It's not, if somebody like me is teaching, and I stumble into saying things, like a friend of mine once, he called and said that, when the tsunami hit in Indonesia, all right, and 200,000 people died in a day, all right, in the Banda Aceh district. And forget Indonesia, it wasn't the only place. There are many islands that perished. They don't exist anymore after that tsunami. He called and said, ah, okay, you said so. I said, what? He said, you said that these Indonesian people, this was that one day they are, I couldn't remember saying it. That one day I was preaching, and I made a statement about Indonesia. That the day judgment will come. It will come. You know, I just said something. Honestly, I couldn't remember saying it. But I must have said, that's why he called to tell me I said so. That was a few years before the tsunami hit. Now, what I want to bring out is that, was I a prophet? No, I didn't even know I said it. What must have happened was that I was teaching, all right? And based on principles, because even when God gives prophetic words, it's usually if he gave you the analysis spiritually, you will see how he arrived at that. Is that okay? So based on certain principles, I must have observed some things. Maybe I read about Indonesia, or I read in a book, and I saw, and I said, these people, this is what Hala they are going for. Like I can prophesy for you now. You know, prophecy, that's based on understanding, not a prophetic word, really. All right? I can tell you that there's no how, it's not possible that Europe will not suffer severe calamity over the next many years. It's not possible. I have my reasons. It's just my personal, but then you can't quote it that thus says the Lord. No. That's why I always tell people that I would rather, if I used to say that the one that has more hope is London. That's UK. And you say why? I said the number of Nigerians there are too plenty. They've carried a lot of grace that presents people to the place. Nigerians are very resilient spiritually. So we have packed a lot of the preserving grace and carried to the place. But all those pure white countries where their eye would be like a, like I said, they use bleach, wash face in the morning. I feel sorry for them. I can't discuss it. I have my reasons. So I feel very sorry for them. If you want to live in a country, please, you must leave Nigeria. You will live longer if you live in America. This is not because of prosperity. You just, if you must go to Europe, just stay within the UK axis. There's a lot of blessing that we Nigerians, we have carried to the place. We and Ghanaians. For a lot of black people, all those people that, let me not go into that side, all right? The point I'm making is this. Now, so I could have said that's not a prophetic office. Is that okay? Real prophets, one person where I know, Tunde Bakare, that man is a real prophet. Is that okay? There are prophets like that. Nigeria, we don't have many of them. Now, you see, in the Bible, there are not so plenty, of course. If you read in the Bible, there's Agabus. All right? People like Agabus. All right? Paul also operated that in that office. There are few people that operated as prophets. Agabus will tell you that a famine is coming. He can almost give you a date. So you guys get prepared for it. And when he says that, what he's saying usually is that don't pray about it, because there are things that are calamities, but you can't pray against. Let me give you an example. Jesus will tell you that pray in answer that a day of judgment is coming. He said, pray that it will not be on a Sabbath day and that it will not be in winter. That is, your prayer cannot stop it. It can adjust the date. Why winter? So that you can flee without cold killing you on the road. And he was advising people then, please, if you want to have children, don't have too many. Because you have to move in a hurry. he said those things. That day it will come, you will be thankful for those who don't have children. Alright? He said, pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day because of your conscience, and that your flight will not be during winter. That's the limit of the prayer allowed. That's a prophetic word. So when we want to pray, Father God, as per the coming judgment, in the name of Jesus, we ask, make sure all of us have bought cars by then, big trucks, so we can move. And can we just know that 3 days ahead and let them repair the roads through which I travel? Grant visas to those who want to go beyond the borders. Okay, I beg, not on Sunday, not in the time of heavy rain in Nigeria. We want to go during Hamatan, everything they do easy. That, you know, you pray such prayers, but that judgment won't come. He has made it clear, you can't pray about it. Alright? Now, there are times he prophesies judgment as a warning that men might pray and suspend the judgment. You are getting what I mean? That's what I mean by prophet. We really don't have most of the prophets in Nigeria. I'm sorry. Well, is it not in Nigeria or modern day Christianity? It shall be well with you, prophet. When you see the banner, prophetic unction between this 15th of October and 21st of October, I can preach the message the man will preach for you before you go there. The first day he will pray by your business. He will prophesy and prophesy. All the people that are against you, it shall not be well with them, but it shall be well with you. Hear me, the Lord will rise up and deliver you from your enemies. Now, remember what I said, is it bad? If you see where they are saying it, please go there, bend your head and say the amen. Look, blessing not the too much. Those days when we want to go to school, and my mother will say, oh, yeah, come, let's go and see Dr. Luferat. I said, well, so that I can pray with you. That was a preacher. I said, Mommy, I have prayed. Don't worry, everything is okay. And she always used to say, prayer is not too much. She never forgot to add that one to that. I shouldn't worry. Although what she was saying, in effect, is that small boy, which can pray if he pray? Come, man, we'll go past, we'll get better anointing. May pour prayer for your head. He said, you don't pray. Shorty like you. He said, you have prayed. Essentially, that's what she was saying. But you see that prayer not too much. And I'm telling you also, prayer not too much. If they are prophesying, look, no matter how small the dose, add them to the one you get. It shall be well with you, say, amen. Even if the man is not called, all right, he's still a priest. Every believer in Christ Jesus is a priest, is empowered to bless. Amen. And that's why, look, when you're in church, say, turn to your neighbor and say, it shall be well with you. Yes, you have the power. I'm serious. You have it's a priestly office, but most of those people are not really prophets, really. So when you are praying, really, because it's among the things that I put down as prayer points. These are things you pray for, that God, that there will be what, a release of your prophetic unction. Now you know, real prophetic unction now, not a priestly blessing unction. All right, into the body of Christ, because take a place, a country like Nigeria, there's so much complication around that. What we can do generally as people is to use the general principles of the scriptures. Alright? Like, God loves justice. You can pray about justice. Do you understand? You can pray about justice. But there are specific things that God wants to do at a particular point in time. Remember that the CD said we should all get aggressive prayer. Listen to it. Alright? God just stimulates a desire, a specific one in the heart of somebody. And if he's a prophet, he will share it with you that this was what God showed me that he's about to do. And when God tells you that, two things he's saying, pray about it and prepare for it. And that's something we don't see often right now in our country. We don't. But I think we can pray. If God knows we are interested and we ask him to do it, he will release the anointing into our lives. All right? When I say into our lives, I don't mean each one of us individually, but just like he raised pastors and teachers and evangelists, all right, he will also raise real prophets who will not speak except God gives them a word. All right? Every time you hear Tunde Bakare preach, he's just preaching. He can be a teacher, or, you know, or just an exhorter, all right? But then occasionally, a word will come and he will declare that word. Is that all right? And it shapes, number one, not just what happens in the nation, it shapes how the believers respond. Sometimes God is actually warning. Now, when I look at what happened in Rwanda and Burundi, that's where that Rwanda crisis, that is it, about 800,000 people were killed in about 3 months, all right? You know that one or two things. Either there was nobody to pray for that country, or they sinned so bad, okay, that God poured down that judgment upon them. It's one of two things. Either there was nobody to pray. Because God says, look, anyway, I don't want to use all the time discussing all these things. Because you know that God is just and God is love. The two of them, one doesn't cancel the other. God will be so loving, but because of justice, he has to release terror. So because of love, he will not ask somebody, pray that this terror might not come upon them. All right? Now, let's just, you've gotten that point. All right. So, where was I? Okay, I just mentioned that issue about prophets and the issue of persistence and the power of our words. That we are the ones that give God the authority on the earth. All right? Because the earth he has given to the sons of men. The Lord is good. Okay, so what we are going to do, we'll rise to our feet and then we'll pray for for the Church of God in Nigeria, even for 15 minutes, and then we'll close. All right. So I want us to pray specifically now. Let me just remind us of something I said before. Because I have noticed that if you say something different once, people forget it quickly. They just talk to the one that they knew for a very long time. The way you do corporate praying, all right, the proper way to do it is not what we do these days amongst Pentecostals. The people that have the best approach to it, from my understanding of the scriptures, all right, are the two of them I know, Catholics and Anglicans, all right, they have that, in which prayer, if you've been to a Catholic church, they tell you about the prayer of the saints, all right, and usually the prayers are well written, you know, somebody writes it and everybody choruses an answer, and believe me, that is the ideal thing. The one that all of us scatter. You want to scatter in your bedroom, scatter in your house. You know, I like when you are in your own room, you can pray anyhow. Pray always. That's the place you can pray always. You know what I mean? Always. This way, that way. Like one day in church, Ken Kata said, when you want to pray, you must do something mad. Everybody carry a chair, put on your head. It's good. Yes. He said, look, that you go mad. So usually that kind of madness in your house, you can do it. If you like, carry your television so that you won't fall asleep. Yeah, there are those who do it. On campus those days, it was a sports complex. There are brethren that they can't pre-standing. They jog, you know, where they are jogging stuff and then start. 400 meters each time. After 400 meters, five devils are gone. Under 400 meters, a legion of angels arrives. You know, that's how they do it. They used to jog. That's the only way. Part of it is that this sleep, I will overcome you one way or the other. Where I won't sleep, save now for grass. Yeah, but when people gather together, it's not the time to scatter. The ideal thing is that we, you know, when the Bible says they pray in one accord, the best thing, the way I say that, if everybody can concentrate, all right, somebody will have prepared a prayer and say your prayer nicely. Everybody hears you clearly and this chorus what? Amen. I have a personal modification. And that is that, say it, let everybody repeat it. You know why I like that? Because we are so used to scattering that's the best way we won't scatter in mind. Because by the time you pray your prayer halfway, they don't say, Kai, Chelsea, go, don't score by now. You know what I'm saying? But if you make the person, all right, repeat after you, there's no how. He must stay there with you. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, quickly, if you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of... We're going to take a number of prayer points, all right? Just for the body of Christ, because it's very important. Let me just explain this. You know, the problem, God doesn't like to solve problems outside until he has solved the one with us. Is that all right? No, that's the way it is. It's easy for us to come and shout corruption in Nigeria, corruption in Nigeria. God said, you, thank you, pastor, come, sit down. Let's just check corruption inside yourself. Are you getting my point? That if you guys tackle your own corruption, the one outside will be very easy for me to tackle. But if you guys don't, if you promote people because they have money, and whether they stole it or not, it doesn't matter anymore, and you tell them that even if it's blood money, you have a special preparation that you use to claim blood money. Once you are saying like that, no matter how much they steal, I can't do anything. Because if I were to start, I have to start with you. You understand what I'm saying? That's a matter of fact, all right? So, actually, today I was preparing so that we'll pray for the country, but along the line, as I settled on this, apparently, that's the most important. So, let's just do that for a few minutes, and then we go away from here. Now, I may not be able to do what I said is ideal, all right, because I didn't prepare that fully, but at least we can read a few scriptures, and then I will allow us this time around. Please, don't scatter too much, but where I can give guide, I will. Where I can't, please, don't just scatter too much. Focus on... let me just say it again. You don't have to be innovative. People think that you have to look for fantastic words, powerful words that will move God. Listen, very few things move God, all right? Very, very few. What matters to him is that you know his purpose and you agree with it. That's all. You walk in obedience to him. It's personalities that move God. It's not words. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're a correct person, you can move him. All right? All right. The book of John chapter 17. I just want us to look at a few prayers that Jesus prayed for his disciples and therefore by implication us, which God shows that that is his plan and which I just want to read first from verse 9. You see the things they asked for, and then we'll just pray along those lines also. Is that I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and they and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. What's happened is that I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, yes. Now notice this request he's making. He said, Lord, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one. Notice that. Preservation. Number two, unity. Even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. We're back to that preservation. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, verse 17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is what? Truth. To preserve, all right, and to sanctify, they go hand in hand. To sanctify means to cut out, to be separate. While being in the world, but not being of the world. He said, as thou didst send me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That is for you and I, who read the scriptures today and accept the testimony of John, the testimony of Matthew, Luke, Paul, and all of those things, those people. And that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Now let me just stop there. But if you look through this, you'll see that he made a few requests for the church. Number one was for what? Preservation. Number two, I said, was for what? Unity. Now, all of this, actually, if you look through it properly, no time to analyze it, is going to come out through the truth. If you look at our logo, all right, Kingdom Word, below what is written is separating by his truth. That's what we wrote there. Because actually that's what God uses, all right, to separate his people. Now, so we are going to pray for the body of Christ, just like Jesus prayed now, all right? He said that you deliver them from the evil one. Now, when he says from the evil one, please, I don't have time to explain it. He's not talking that so that the evil one will not kill them. That was not the prayer. The prayer was so they will not fall into his what? Temptation. That's it. All right? Now, I don't know which words to tell you to use, but we can pray a few simple words. We will pray, all right, like I wrote it here. We pray that God will deliver us as a body, all right? At least we can observe what is wrong right now in the body of Christ, like Nigeria, from the temptation of covetousness and worldliness. I think it's very simple. Do you understand my point? Now, as we are saying that other things develop, for example, the propagation of truth, I will explain that as we begin to pray, all right? Can we just bow down our heads now and begin to pray? First prayer point is very simple, use simple words. We just begin, you can repeat words I'm using. I will pray aloud so that you can follow me if you wish to, or just bow your head and say amen, or use your own words. But please, let's not distribute ourselves too much. As we go on, we'll plan these things better. Now, just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, use your own words. Lord, I pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria. I can handle that personally now. And I think let's all together pray for the body of Christ in our country. That will be delivered from the evil one, from the temptations of the evil one. Say, Lord, separate us by thy truth. We pray for the church in this nation. That, Lord, we know that if we will walk in the truth, then we will be the light of the world indeed. Therefore, we ask that you will separate us by your truth. What does that entail? That you will magnify truth amongst us. You will make us love the world more than material things. That, Lord, you will stir up the spirit of holiness once again in the body of Christ in this nation. We ask in the name of Jesus that this is the body that Christ died for. We ask in the name of Jesus that you will separate us by your truth. Kindle again in us the spirit of holiness. That worldliness will be a word we learn again and learn to despise worldliness. That, Lord, in the name of Jesus, cause us to love truth. Magnify the voices of truth. That's a very important prayer point. Say, Lord, magnify the voice of truth in this nation in the name of Jesus. There are prophets when I say prophets, I mean preachers, teachers, whatever, pastors, evangelists, but men of God that you have preserved, even the time of worldliness, when many people have followed after Jezebel, but you have preserved these ones. Lord, the time has come that you will release them that they might influence the whole body with your truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, release understanding. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you as a body, not just individuals now, that as a body of Christ in Nigeria, that we will reflect Christ Jesus for the earth to see, that we will no longer take pride in material things. Very important. Lest we continue like the church in Laodicea, saying that we are rich and we have need of nothing, when we do not know that we are poor and wretched and blind and miserable. Say, Lord, we ask, another prayer point I just brought up, reveal our true state to us, again, by your truth. Sanctify us by your truth. Say, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Say, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Say, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. And there's a scripture to support what I'm saying there. Quickly, let me read from the book of Jeremiah chapter 3. It will help us. Everybody, just listen to this. The book of Jeremiah chapter 3. You can just listen to me. I'll read it out, verse 15. This is God's plan. He said, I will give you shepherds. I like King James here. He says, pastors after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge, all right, and understanding. And it shall be in those days when you are multiplied and increased in the land, declares the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they miss it, nor shall it be made again. That is, what will have happened is that God will have restored, all right, taken out of this the evil heart, stubbornness, and have restored a fleshly heart into those hearts. How will they do it? He said, I will feed you, I will give you shepherds or teachers or pastors, or let me use the word, spiritual leaders after my heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. And there was something that Jesus said, if you look, I think that would be the book of Luke chapter 10. Let's quickly read that one also. The book of Luke chapter 10. But this is, you know, why I like to read this, so that you will see the plan of God. In verse 2, it says, "And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, see, look, it was a direct commandment. He said, beseech the Lord of the harvest. Remember what we have been saying? There is truth that sanctifies. Are you getting my point? A lot of things we are praying about in the nation, let me tell you the truth, they are just things that would dissolve naturally if the church really stands out as the truth of God. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. You know salt, what it means? It means you preserve things. When you are there with your influence, crime naturally drops. Are you getting my point? But then, the first thing is that you must be, in quote, purified. You must be sanctified. And he said, how does that happen? It's by what? The word of God. Therefore, we pray. Say, Lord, give us shepherds after your heart who will feed us only with your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. Let me say this so that, look, some of this, if you hear it, you'll be surprised. You know, I was into Pastor Poggi a few days ago. He said when he was going to start out the ministry, a senior person in ministry actually advised him that this teaching thing you do, nobody has time for it on Sundays. On Sunday, you're supposed to make people feel good. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. No, really. That, look, people don't have time for it. Just come and make them feel happy. That is not a shepherd after God's heart. No, it's not. It's not. All right? Like I said, my job is not to make anybody feel happy. It's to tell them what? The truth. Knowledge and understanding. Not the things of God. If you are in iniquity, you should feel sad. It's the right thing now. Godly sorrow. You should be crying. We won't comfort you. Let the sorrow almost kill you. Just before you die, they will comfort you and you'll be revived. Then you will sin again. The Bible says, don't say to the sinner, I shall be well with him. What do you say to? Who do you say that to? To the righteous. So if a man is walking in iniquity, tell him, God is going to get you. Say, are you serious? Yes, the soul that snares shall die. Then you start crying. Hey, that's repentance. It's not anybody's job to make you feel happy. That's not a pastor after God's heart. Is that all right? I'm sorry to say this. A lot of congregations people gave me that kind of counsel, so as to get money to support the work of the ministry. The ministry work is good. Do you understand that? And it costs money. But then, it is forbidden. A pastor, a shepherd, is supposed to feed people with knowledge, with understanding of God, not to use their venue to get money. Do you follow my point? Therefore, this is our prayer. Simple words. Lord, give us shepherds after your heart. All right? Who will feed your body with understanding, with knowledge. It's simple. Say, Lord, now, if I say this, I hope you won't feel like a judgmental prophet. Say, Lord, any congregation that was organized for the raising of money, we ask you, please, kindly show the man mercy and show the people mercy. The mercy of the people, you shut them down first. Do you have the strength to pray that prayer? Well, if you don't, leave it. I'll do it myself, all right? Don't name names, because you don't know anything. No. Do you understand my point? It's a general, generic prayer. Because of things that we know do happen, all right? So it's a simple prayer. Say, Lord, give us, entrench, promote. That's a good word. Promote shepherds after your heart. Those ones that you have kept in caves, hidden in the time of Jezebel's reign. Say, Lord, bring them forth and give them to us. Say, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. Say, Lord, send your pure laborers into this development of your church in this country. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let the message of truth, the message of righteousness, the message of holiness, the message that is Christ-centered, be the, in quote, popular thing amongst us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we say, Lord, we refuse to be deceived. Declare it before God. Say, I, on behalf of my brethren, I refuse to be deceived. That is, I reject deception. Where we have enjoyed deception and make us feel good messages before, we repent and say, Lord, tell us the truth. We want to know you. Therefore, Lord, release laborers of truth into your harvest field, men who will speak your word for no ulterior motive. Ask God to elevate the teachings of truth and reduce the influence of negative teachings and wrongly motivated teachings. And Lord, you know, ask him, say, Lord, we ask for understanding for everyone, the spirit of discernment. Lord, I will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And because of time, last of all, very importantly, we heard the words of Jesus Christ. He said he wanted them to be one as he and the Father are one. In simple words, again, say, Lord, make us one in this nation as a body of Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, break down every wall of denominationalism that's separating us. We're not asking God to close churches down. That's not the point. But that men will stop respecting their denomination more than the body of Christ. Yes, that one we can ask for. That the name of Jesus will be more important than the name of a founding preacher. That the name of Jesus will be more important than the name of the pastor or bishop of a denomination. That the name of Jesus will be elevated amongst his people. Say, Lord, we love you. We love your truth. Our soul cries out for it. Now, you remember what I said about the prophetic office? That's a sign, all right, as an example of many things that are missing from the body of Christ. He said, Lord, for the ministries that are missing in their manifestation, we ask you that you release the anointing again into our midst in the name of Jesus. Specifically, we ask for prophetic unction. We ask for prophetic insight that we will know your plan and know what to do in the name of Jesus. Now, thank God for the priestly function that you have experienced in the name of prophecy. You understand what I'm saying? It's important. Well, because I don't want us to despise it. Because the mistake we make sometimes is that we say that we start despising things that were not perfect, even though they basically are good. So I want us to, for a minute, all right? Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank. In fact, just everybody, just repeat after me. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the priestly office that we have experienced. The words that have come forth to bless us, we say thank you for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, however, we ask for a release of true prophetic anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Said, you release this gift when you ascended on high. Say, Lord, let them be manifested now in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, raise men that can carry that office and perform your function effectively. When I say men, I mean men and women. No, it's not the gender issue, all right? Okay, if you like, just say men and women. Good. Say, Lord, raise men and raise women who will carry that office and give direction to your body in the name of Jesus Christ. Simple words. I want to just say amen to this, all right? As I pray, what I want to say is amen. Because I'm running off now. Father, we thank you because of the power of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you, Lord, because you love us and you have planted us in this nation as the salt of the earth and as the light of the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the great things that you have done amongst us, how you brought the gospel into this nation, as how you began to birth the body of Christ in this country, and how you built different churches, denominations, raised ministers, raised Christians, and are affecting the world through all these people. Thank you, Lord, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because today you have also heard us. And in accordance with our request, we declare, all right, that the love of truth will prevail in the body of Christ in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, that the spirit of holiness, the messages of the new creation in Christ Jesus, the doctrine of righteousness, the doctrine of consecration, Lord, will be the love of our hearts and it will be released into the body of Christ once again in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we reject deception. Say amen there. Amen. Lord, we reject deception. Amen. We reject confusion. Amen. We reject the doctrine of feel good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we hold on to consecration. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, that your true anointing, Lord, will be released amongst us, Lord. We declare that our hearts are totally united to the love of truth and that we'll be united as one in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the release of your prophetic unction. Lord, we love truth. We want to know you. We want to be exalted, that is magnified only in Christ Jesus. We reject worldliness. Lord, we declare, like Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Lord, we refuse to make material possessions the aim of our gospel. But that Christ-likeness is what we are going after. Lord, from all the missing gifts in the body of Christ, we take the prophetic one, Lord, as a point of contact, like we say, as a prototype to stand for the rest. Lord, we ask for a restoration in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have many pastors, we have many teachers, evangelists, but Lord, we don't have many prophets. We ask, Lord, for a restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that we will have direction concerning what to do, concerning what you are doing at each particular season. That men's hearts, Lord, will be pricked. That the hidden things in their hearts, Lord, will be manifested. That they will know that indeed Jesus is Lord. Lord, release this unction again, or these unctions, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Build us up to be great, Lord. Because we know, Lord, that once we walk in purity, we will affect this nation. There is no corruption in the world that will not be tackled if there's purity in the church. Lord, there is no confusion in the world that will not be made clear if there is focus, singleness of eye in the church. That singleness of eye, that dedication to truth is why we have gathered again today, Lord, to make requests of you. Grant these words, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.